only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another. Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there. Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall. Golzin takes the snap. Pass intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP. A 28-yard TD. Me.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 on Twitter. You can check us out at hashtag Giants Chat. All right, everybody, it's Friday. It's your last Friday before training camp starts. Now just 2 days, three if you include today, until players report. Four if you include today, until your first practice. So clearly, the Giants are getting closer to figuring out exactly what they have going on in the 2014 NFL season. Tom Rockwood from Newsday will join us at 9:45 to discuss a little bit about the New York Football Giants, what his biggest issues are in camp, what he'll be keeping an eye on. So we'll hear from Tom in about 10, 15 minutes right here on Giants.com. Very quickly, I'll throw out one question for today. In our 20 questions in 20 days series. Today's question is, what do you think the biggest difference is going to be with this new offense from Ben McAdoo to Kevin Gilbride? And I think there are a lot of legitimate answers here, and you know, we'll see which ones have the biggest impact. No longer having to read body language between Eli Manning and the wide receivers, I think that could be a pretty big deal. That's number one. I think number two, shorter drops, quicker passes. Probably a higher completion percentage for Eli, and theoretically, you would hope, fewer turnovers. That's another thing you could talk about. Tempo, pace, that's going to be a big change. Now, the Giants historically under Kevin Gilbride have been a team that gets out of the huddle late, and they're always fighting the end of that play clock. Is that going to be the case now, or was that on Kevin Gilbride, or was that on Eli Manning? We'll find out this year with Ben McAdoo. They ran no huddle in every day of spring practice trying to get ready. So they'll certainly try to improve that pace this year. I think those are the three top things that will be different. Shorter routes, that goes into the shorter drops and shorter dropbacks. Those are all related. So that's how I see it. How do you see it, or anything else you want to talk about with the New York Football Giants? I'll try to squeeze in a couple calls before we get Tom Rock on from Newsday. Let's go to Kendall in Canada first. Kendall, you're up first on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. Good morning.
Hi, John. It's been a while since
I know. Kendall, what's going on, man? Long time no speak.
Well, it's just I normally do bold predictions on Fridays, but there's so many questions, I don't even know where you could go with
Well, Kendall, here we go. Give me some bold predictions for training camp.
Okay. The first one is, Adrian Robinson does get the tight end job.
Okay.
Number two would be DeMontre Moore beats out Kiwi for the starting job.
Wow. Okay. So you think DeMontre Moore and Jason Pierre-Paul will be your week one starters at defensive end?
I do.
Interesting. Now, here's the question. Will DeMontre Moore be playing right end, or will he be playing left end?
I think that JPP is going to play in Tuck's position, and DeMontre will be on JPP's position.
Well, Kendall, I'm happy you said that, because if those two guys do end up being the starters, and I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, I think it's unlikely, but I think it's possible, that would have to be the configuration, because JPP is much better against the run. He'd have to play left end.
The big one will be, who's going to be the three tight ends? Because and the other bold prediction, here's the biggest bold one, right, for the season is, and this is assuming he gets cleared.
Right.
David Wilson will rush for over 1,000 yards.
Okay, I like that. That's pretty good. Now, how many touchdowns will he have?
He will have 8.
Nice. Very nice.
Now, put me down for 12-4.
Whew.
On the wall.
12-4 on the wall. Wow. All right.
And the reason why I'm saying that is back to your original one where you started the show and said that the difference between Gilbride's and Ben McAdoo's offense. My personal belief is Kevin Gilbride's offense was a high-risk, high-reward offense.
Right.
And when it was clicking, it was unstoppable. But we saw the result of what happened when it didn't click last year. So I think that Ben McAdoo's offense is more of a, there's going to be a lot more short passes. There's going to be a lot more margin for error. I think there was zero margin for error between the wide receivers and everything had to work right. There were so many moving parts in Gilbride's offense, and I'm a Kevin Gilbride fan. There were so many moving parts in that offense. It was just, if there was one thing that was off, it was a disaster. So there was no margin for error. So I think that the new offense, there's going to be a lot more margin for error. There's going to be not as much that read and react, I think, caused a lot of problems. The other bold prediction is Odell Beckham will be the leading receiver of all the rookies because of the change of offense.
Wow,
because
so you think Odell Beckham will have a better year than Marquise Lee, than Mike Evans, and also, who am I forgetting, Sammy Watkins?
Put it on the wall.
And Brandon Cooks, by the way, who a lot of people think is going to have a monster year.
Yeah, and I think that Odell Beckham will be better than Ebron was.
Okay.
Or is for Detroit. So there's all my bold predictions. I'm out.
Kendall, I'm honestly going to have trouble remembering all these, but call me back when some of them appear to be coming true, okay?
All right, I will do that.
Thanks.
And by the way, congratulations on the wedding, and I'm glad that you made it back from Thailand.
Thank you, Kendall. I appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good
weekend.
Man. Yep. And by the way, thank goodness I got married when I did. Got back last night. I missed two league basketball games because of the wedding and the honeymoon, which I'm not complaining. It's just facts. So I get back, first league game last night. We win. We won like 62-54. I scored, I think, 15 or something like that. But the best part, small fracture in the nose. Yes. It's fun. So I get to get that set today, which is great. Looking forward to that. It's not bad. Don't worry. You can't even know by looking at me that I had anything, but still no fun. Let's go to Dean in Connecticut. Dean, you're up next, man. What's going on, pal?
Hey, morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, man, what that last caller said about DeMontre starting, if that's a possibility, I'd love to hear that because that must mean he's going to have an awesome camp, and I would absolutely love to see
that.
Dean,
I'll say this. It will take an awesome camp, not a good camp. It would have to be an off-the-charts camp, I think, for DeMontre Ward to beat out Kiwanuka and Ayers, by the way. I think there's a decent chance Ayers could be the starter, too, based on how he plays in camp. So I think that'll be a fun competition at defensive end.
Well, I always thought going into camp that Ayers had a head up just for the simple fact that he's similar to Tuck in the way that he can stop the run.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to overwhelm you with pass rushing skills, but he can stop the run, and then if we don't have anybody in that spot, we could be in trouble.
I agree.
But as far as your question, what would be different under McAdoo and Gilbride, I honestly think that this offense can excel under McAdoo. And the simple fact that we all know what Eli could do in a two-minute drill. We all know what Eli could do with the ball in his hands and no time on the clock. Let's see what he could do that for a whole four quarters and then see what this offense can do. If everybody can grasp this playbook, get it down, I think we're going to have a monster year, and you can put me down for 10-6.
Sounds like a plan, Dean. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks, John.
Thanks, Dean. Good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. And I think the offense is interesting. I really do. I mean, I can see it going both ways. We've never seen Eli play another offense. Is that going to help him or hurt him? I don't know. You know, is Victor Cruz, we've never seen him play in a non-Kevin Gilbride offense. Is this going to help him or hurt him? So we'll have to wait and see. I think there are real questions. I think it's interesting. And frankly, Ben McAdoo's never been an offensive coordinator before. I mean, we like what we see in the offense in Green Bay, but can he translate that? We've seen disciples of great offenses fail many times in this league. So can McAdoo do the job? I mean, I think he works his ass off. I know that. I know he's a smart guy. I know he cares. He's very serious. So that's not going to be a problem. But, you know, sometimes when you get a big job the first time, it's a little rough going. I don't think that's going to be the case again, but you never know. That's how football works. We'll be joined by Tom Mack from Newsday in just a second. Let's knock off two more calls very quickly. Jason in Montreal. Jason, you're up first.
What's up, John? What's going on, bro?
What's up, man?
Good, man. Listen, I wanted to just comment basically like on the last caller, what he said in regards to like, you know, 10 and 6 and stuff like that. I think one thing we need to really do is kind of like temper expectations a bit with the team, you know. I'm really, really happy with what Jerry Reese did so far. But on the real, I still think we still like about a couple of years, you know, in work in progress, let's just say. Because, you know, there's a lot of holes that still need to be put in regards to the right tackle, in regards to like, you know, all the things that were going on throughout the week. There's still a lot of things that need to be looked at, and it can be done all in one season. So 10-6, I think, is still a reach. I'm still thinking we're looking at about an 8-8 season, but it's okay. It's not to say it's an 8-8 season where it's going to be like, oh my God, what we got to do? We got to rebuild and blah blah blah. I think it's just a work in progress. So Giants fans, calm down. We're going to figure this out, but it's going to take a couple of seasons to get this done. That's what I think.
All right, Jason, appreciate it, man.
All right. One more last thing, yeah. John, before I go. I want to let you guys know I'm going to be creating, I guess, you guys an open. So if anybody has any ideas in regards to things that were said in the past in regards to the Big Blue Kickoff, holler at me on Twitter. And soon, but within the next week or two, I'm going to set up an open for you guys.
Oh, very good. Now, Jason, just so they have it, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Jason_Forbes. Oh, sorry, JasonForbes91.
Okay, so JasonForbes91. No, so it's JasonForbes_91 or just JasonForbes91?
No, it's Jason one word Forbes, like Lance would say. One word, JasonForbes91.
Perfect. I appreciate it, Jason.
So, yeah, no problem. Just give me a shout out, John, on Twitter. Let me know how I can reach you to get you that file.
Will do, my friend.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. All right, real quickly before we get to Tom Rock, Ben's in Connecticut. Ben, what's going on, man?
Well, it's good to have you back, and glad you didn't get onto that Malaysian Airlines. My God.
I mean, this obviously has nothing to do with Malaysian Airlines. Talk about a snake bit airline. I mean, geez, to get shot down by pro-Russian rebels over the Ukraine. I mean, geez, I mean, that is just a terrible, terrible, terrible story.
I think that the Giants will probably end up 9-7, 10-6. In that vicinity there.
Why do you think that, Ben?
Well, I just think that the new philosophy on offense, I think it's going to work. I think McAdoo is a proven winner with Green Bay. And also Langsdorf is a proven quarterback's coach out of Oregon.
Oregon State, excuse me.
Yeah. You know, developing quarterbacks. And from what I can understand from, you know, hearing – everybody talking, like yourself and Lance Meadow and Paul Dottino. The guys are working very hard, you know, in practice. And they seem very committed to winning. And I think we're going to move forward. We're going to get better and better. We're not going to know how strong each position is until we get to the preseason games. You know, we're able to see how these guys are playing and how they adapt to the new philosophy and offense. And I think Demetri Moore is going to have a big year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ben. First of all, that's why Cam's going to be fun to see how this offense comes together. Number two, someone on the defensive line better have a big year getting after the quarterback, because if they don't, I'm not going to say it's a long season for the defense, but it's certainly not going to be a dominant season for the defense. You got to be able to get after the quarterback in this league. If you don't, you're going to have problems.
Well, you're right. I think that Pierre Paul, I think he's going to have a big year, you know. The secondary, being strong as it is going to allow that defense to really up front, you know, come into its own there. And I think that the new offense, the shorter intermediate passing attack, is going to allow Manning to get comfortable, to get into a rhythm. And also, I think what you mentioned before with the Lance and Paul, they're looking to do screen passes to the running backs.
Hopefully they'll work, because they haven't worked in the past.
that would be a relief.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
Well, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in, Ben. Good to hear from you, Ben.
And wish you a good marriage and a long life.
Thank you, Ben. I hope that happens as well. Have a good one, my friend.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Now we welcome in our guest today, and that's Tom Rock from Newsday. Does a great job covering the Giants. Tom's enjoying his last days of freedom before camp starts on Monday. Tom, good morning.
Morning, Johnny. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about yourself?
Great, great. I understand you might be starting camp on the pup list.
I will be good to go. It is a small,
okay,
a small displaced fracture. No surgery necessary. I'm not being placed on the pup list or IR. I should be good to go.
Terrific, terrific. Well, we'll be glad to have you on the sideline.
I'll be happy to be there. And Tom, you know, our topic today so far has really been the Giants offense. So where do you see this offense going? I mean, we've seen it in spring practice. We've seen some of the new concepts that Ben McAdoo's putting in there. We've seen far from the full package, though. From what you've seen, where do you think this offense is going? And how do you think it plays to the strengths of some of the guys on the Giants roster?
Yeah, well, we haven't even seen the whole offense because it hasn't been installed yet. They didn't get around to putting in the entire playbook in the spring. So that's got to be a little bit alarming, I think. They got all the concepts in, but they haven't actually run every play that they have. So that'll come in the summer when we get started on Monday. I think this new offense is going to be dictated on the skill set of the players that they have, rather than trying to force the players that they have into the offense, which is sort of how things worked under Gilbride. It seems like Ben McAdoo really wants to tailor the plays, the play calling, and the systems and the ideologies around who they have. So whether that means Victor Cruz on the inside and letting Reuben Randall do his thing, going a little less with the tight end, maybe a little more with a fullback and three receivers. You know, it depends on how they want to look. And I think that once they get a better idea of who they want on the field and who their best 11 are, then they'll have a better idea of what their actual play calling is going to be like.
201-939-4513. We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, also want to touch a couple things on offense here. What are some of the things that you're going to be keeping an eye on, some of your concerns about what's going to happen on the offensive side of the ball? The two I'm watching, one is the injuries on the offensive line. How is Christie and Wobeidi going to come into camp? And my second one, are Eli Manning's weapons beyond Victor Cruz going to be reliable enough for him to have a vintage Eli Manning year?
The bounce back year, that's going to be important. I was looking down the roster last night because I was putting together some preview stuff, and I don't see one position on offense that's not in some sort of flux or not necessarily turmoil, but sort of unsteady. I think the only two people that you can really ink in to starting positions in terms of skill players are Eli and Cruz, and even them, you know, Eli, obviously they're contingent upon each other, but Eli's coming off, you know, his worst year as a pro, so there's some drama right there. And then you look at the offensive line that you mentioned, and really Jeff Schwartz is the only guy that you can pin in to a position and say he's going to be our left guard. The other guys, you have Will Beatty maybe at left tackle if he's healthy enough. If not, who knows? Justin Pugh obviously is going to be a starter, assuming he's healthy and he gets through the summer healthy. But where, you know, he can pitch in a lot of different places. You mentioned J.D. Walt hasn't played in the game since 2012. You know, who knows what this guy is going to be able to do once he gets on the field and he really starts playing. Then you go to the running back position, David Wilson. Everybody expects him to be back. Everybody expects him to get the green light, be cleared. If not on Monday, then at some point shortly after that. But they've already brought in his replacement in Rashad Jennings. So how are those two guys gonna play off of each other? You have a really good battle at fullback, John Connor and Henry Hynoski. That's going to be very interesting, and I think it's going to come down to who can do other things, special teams-wise, catching the ball-wise, and whatever else Ben McAdoo asks these guys to do. And then, of course, you go to the receivers where you have Cruz, Reuben Randall, and Odell Beckham Jr. And then you look at some other guys that you're gonna rely on. Gerald Jernigan, where is he gonna fit into this? Is he gonna just be a backup Cruz, or could he play on the outside and sort of create his own niche here? And, of course, the tight end is completely up in the air. Nobody knows who's going to play, who's going to start, who's even going to make the team out of that position group. So the whole offense, I think, is sort of a work in progress. And over the next month and a half or so, we're gonna try and watch it be molded into something that's viable on September 8th in Detroit.
Joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, just talking about the offensive line a little bit here. What's the Giants' backup plan if Will Beatty's not ready to go? And if he plays poorly again, you know, what are the Giants going to do at left tackle?
Yeah, that's two problems right there that are not, that are independent of each other. So you could have a situation where Will Beatty comes back if he's healthy, but he plays like he did last year, and that's not going to fit well with the Giants. So for right now, I think they put Brown out there at left tackle. They have a couple of other options. They can move Pugh to left tackle. I don't think that would be outside of the realm of possibility. He certainly last year was probably their best all around offensive lineman. And certainly their most steady and most reliable one. And I shouldn't say that. Kevin Booth was there too, but he's not. He's obviously no longer on the team. So you have a couple of other options. I think what the Giants did, they added a lot of depth to the offensive line, a lot of veteran depth. Now, not all of these guys are stars. Not all of these guys are guys that are going to really make you open your eyes and say, "Wow, I can't believe they got this guy." He's really going to be a difference maker, but it's going to give them the depth and the ability that when things go wrong, if they go wrong as they did last year, which is hard to imagine they could go that wrong, that they would have players to plug in. You also have James Brewer, who could play a little left tackle. He could play a little right tackle. I would think if it got to that, they would probably put Brewer at the right side and Pugh at the left. But Brewer can also play a little guard, and of course Brandon Mosley, who's really proven himself to be a pretty versatile inside lineman.
We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, how about the Giants' wide receiver position? How much can they expect out of Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think a lot. I think this new system is gonna really allow a rookie receiver to make a splash. That's something we haven't seen in the past. You had to wait almost an entire year for Steve Smith to catch on to the system. Hakeem Nicks started slowly. Needed to integrate himself into the system where you're looking at relaying a lot of decision making and such with Eli Manning in terms of body language and deciphering coverages. This offense, it seems like it's going to be more you run this, you run that, and let's go. And whoever's open, I'm going to throw it to. And it's going to be a lot easier on the receivers to know what their responsibilities are. And I think that's going to really help Odell Beckham Jr. Get on the field, first of all, faster and become more of a playmaker early on in his career than some of the other rookie receivers that we see. I mean, Reuben Randle took a whole year to get ready. Even going back to Mario Manningham, who's back now, when he was a rookie, it takes time for these guys to develop. Victor Cruz is he spent a year on IR his rookie year, but when it took a while for him to get in that groove with Eli Manning. And I think once with this new offensive system now, it's going to be a lot easier for these guys to go out and do their thing and create that chemistry and that connection that needs to be in place for them to be successful on the field.
Hey, Tom, how about Reuben Randle? How important is this year for him?
Yeah, big year for Reuben Randle. He was, I remember last year in training camp, John Dooling up this, that he was opening eyes every day, and we thought he was really going to have a breakout year in terms of becoming a star receiver. And, he had a good year. He led the team with touchdown receptions and, made some big plays. But, at the end of the year, I think the Giants were a little disappointed in how far he'd come. Or how far he hadn't come in terms of his development. So, he seems to be confident that this new system is going to benefit him. He certainly gives them good size and a good you think a good red zone target to score the touchdowns. That's something that Cruz lacks. One of the few things that Cruz lacks, and so he's also this is going to be his third year, so he's coming up on the end of his first contract with this team. So, four year deal as a rookie. It's sort of time to make a name for yourself as a player, and now he's going to be competing with or playing alongside, however you look at it, a former LSU teammate in Odell Beckham. And I think that's actually going to be good for him because they had a strong relationship at LSU, and they're going to be able to push each other, and they're both learning a new offense, obviously, and so I think having somebody there that can be a positive influence on each other, somebody to push themselves, push each other in terms of film study and being in the playbook and just all the other things, all the things that we've heard about Ruben over the years that aren't quite there in terms of, quote-unquote, being a pro and putting in the extra effort and things like that off the field. I think having Odell Beckham is going to be beneficial to both of them.
We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, how do you – boy, and I get asked this question all the time, and I have no idea how to answer it. How do you handicap this tight end position here? Obviously, the Giants would like Adrian Robinson to win the job, but honestly, are we really at the point now where you're just closing your eyes and rolling the dice?
I think so. Who knows what Adrian Robinson is? I don't. I don't think Adrian Robinson knows what he is. What he can bring to this team. It's been 2 years. He hasn't caught a pass. Larry Donnelly, he surprised people last year by making the team and fit in and found a little bit of a role for himself. But I don't think he's he's certainly no Jimmy Graham. I don't know what fraction of a Jimmy Graham he is, but it's a pretty small one.
Right.
And then you have the veterans who are mostly blockers and have become blocking tight ends that can be useful, obviously. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to depend on, this goes back to that whole McAdoo conundrum where you say, okay, are we using the players? Are we designing the offense around the player's ability, or are we taking the player's ability and designing the offense around that? And so you get to the point where you say, well, how much are we going to use the tight end if we don't have a standout player there? And maybe they use more of a six lineman blocking situation. Maybe they use somebody like Heinonski as an H-back and float him around the way they use Bear Pascoe and kind of send the fullback in motion a little bit. Slide him out, and all of a sudden he's in a tight end position when the ball is snapped. They have a lot of options, none of which is good, but there are some positions where you don't want to have options. When Shockey was here, you didn't have an option. Jeremy Shockey was a tight end. Same with Kevin Boyle, pretty much. The Giants team, front office team, is very confident in the group that they have. They obviously didn't draft a tight end. It wasn't a very deep position in the draft after the first player went off the board. But they also didn't add a big star in free agency either. So I think that says a lot about how this offense is going to use that position.
And Tom, the irony of it is, too, is that talking to these guys and talking to Kevin Gilbride Jr., on the last couple of days of media availability at minicamp, all of them stress what a big part of the offense the tight end is, and how it's the number one option on so many different plays. And much like you, if that was going to be the case, I'm just not sure why somebody with a little bit more experience and success in the league wasn't brought in to give him a bit of a safety net at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe JerMichael Finley's in the back of their mind the whole time. I don't know. But listen. They've rolled the dice at this position a number of times, and sometimes they've hit. With Kevin Foss, he was a late-round draft pick, and Jake Ballard, they sort of had a little bit of a diamond in the rough with him and found him when they needed him, and certainly Bear Pascoe filled a nice niche for them when he was called upon. But there comes a time when you have to find a player at that position. And I don't know that the Giants necessarily have somebody there right now that you would say, well, he's definitely the starting tight end.
We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, want to jump to the defensive side of the ball very quickly. How much of a concern is this John Beeson injury? Do you think he'll be back for the first game of the regular season? And if he's not, or if he's not effective when he gets back because he's still, you know, not 100% healthy, how much does his loss impact his defense? Can Jameel McClain step in and mitigate that loss than maybe somebody that's been here in the past could have done?
Yeah, I think McClain can do a nice job if he's called upon. He's not going to be as good as John Beeson. He's just not. And John Beeson has that special something in terms of rallying defense and guiding the defense that very few players in this league have. And he's just a natural leader. And McClain's a good leader, and he's a good player. And the Giants brought him in just to play outside linebacker, but also because you can play the middle for his versatility in case something did happen to him. But there's certainly going to be a fall off. Now, what I will say is that I think that the fall off between Beeson and McClain is less than what the fall off will be between McClain and whoever has to fill McClain's outside spot. So that's going to be interesting to watch. That could be a problem for the Giants. In terms of Beeson coming back for the opener, which is how you started the question, I think the Giants learned a pretty good lesson last year when they were pushing both Jason Pierre-Paul and Henry Heinonski to be ready for the opener. And they realized that becomes sort of an artificial deadline, and that these injuries, and when you're coming off of injury surgery, Beeson hasn't had surgery, but a significant injury, you can't force it to be done in time. And what happened was they brought JPP back last year. They brought Heinonski back to the opener. Neither one was physically ready for that. They probably would have been better served had they waited another week or two with both of those players and not exposed them to the rigors of an NFL regular season, A, without any training camp, and B, just give them a little extra time to heal and get ready for the season that presents its own rigors and its own dangers in terms of injury. So I don't think that they're going to push John Beeson to be ready for the opener. I think there's a chance he could be naturally ready for the opener if that falls in place. But I think that the plan is to let Beeson rest. He's too valuable for the rest of the season to risk not having him at as close to full strength as he can possibly be game, say, 4 through 16, rather than get him on the field for those first four games.
We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, want to touch on one other thing on the defensive side of the ball, and that's the pass rush. Can the Giants figure out a way with this group of defensive ends to get to the quarterback consistently? I think both of us would agree that's really what's going to, either turn this team from a good defense into a great defense. Can JPP bounce back? Demontre Moore in year number two, Ayers, Kiwanuka, the names. Can they figure out a way to get it done?
Well, what's going to help them a lot, and the caller before I just came on mentioned it, was the improved secondary, and I think that's going to be a little bit of a role reversal from the way it's been in the past, where those big pass rushers really helped the cornerbacks do their job. I think this year the cornerbacks, safeties, and the defensive backs are really going to help the defensive linemen do their job. It's going to give them an extra tick to get to the quarterback, and that's going to really, it should improve their pass rush. Now you look at JPP and say, okay, where is he going to be on the spectrum of JPP? And is he going to be the all-pro dominant player that he can be? The potential defensive player of the year that we saw this first 2 years when all of our eyes were popping open saying, where did they find this guy? This raw, massive, head-shaking talent that the Giants had on the field. Or is he going to be the player he was last year, for most of last year, where he just seems stunted and handcuffed and really unable to use his skills to do what he does best, which is terrorize quarterbacks. Kiwanuka, how many years have we gone into training camp now, John, where Kiwanuka was sort of playing that third defensive end role, and group in the background. Maybe he'll play linebacker. You know, he can always do this. And it was always he was always sort of the third wheel in that group. Now this is his year. He comes to training camp as the number one defensive end opposite of JPP. You know, I know he's always the sort of too as a second. Maybe second tier defense against the Giants, but now it's his chance to step up and show everybody that he can be a starting caliber every down defense. And then, as you mentioned, a couple of guys that look forward to Moore and Ayers are going to be big parts of that pass rush too. The punching Moore, I'm going to be very curious to see what he brings in his second year if he sort of gets it. If it clicks, if the lightning bolt, light bulb goes off over his head, and all of a sudden he realizes what it takes to be an NFL player. He's a little unsure last year, I think. He had some injury issues, but also, was one of the youngest members of the team. I think it's not the youngest last year. There needs to be a little bit more growth, a little bit more seriousness from him, and I think his talents will start to show.
All right, final question for Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, I know it's early. A lot of things can change. We had Ralph Vacchiano on yesterday, Paul Schwartz the day before. Paul gave me 8-8. Ralph gave me 9-7. Give me a pre-training camp win total prediction.
I'm going to go with 9 wins. I think that's right about where the Giants are. I think 8-8, 10-6, right in that window. But I'll take 9. 9 wins and making a push for the playoffs at the end of the year, probably right in it up until the end. I think that the offense can't possibly be as bad as it was last year. It's just physically impossible for that to take place and the new changes. I think a lot of the win total is going to depend on early in the season how quickly they can adjust and they can get a grip on this new offense. If it's a sort of a Steve Spagnuolo slow development to the new system on the offense, then it could be a win or two less. But if they catch on right away and they come out firing, you can see the 10-6 and obviously competing to win the division.
Tom, great stuff. We'll see you on Monday, my friend.
John, have a good last weekend.
You too, buddy. It all begins again.
That's right. That's right. Summer vacation ends.
It is over. Thanks, Tom.
All right, pal.
See you Monday. Tom Rock from Newsday does an excellent job. We'll take 2 calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Chris in New York. Chris, what's going on, man?
Yeah, hey, John. How you doing?
What's going on?
I'd just like to say that I never call into these sports shows or anything, but I enjoy listening to you. I listen every day.
I appreciate that, Chris. Thank you.
No problem. Loved what Tom Rock had to say. Read him every day. The only thing I do disagree with him as far as the offense goes, very excited about this offense. I think it plays right into, Eli's hands, the new quick release, get it out of his hands. We have big playmakers out there. I think it can only help guys like Victor Cruz. Let's not forget what he did against the Jets. Quick little dump pass, 99 yards later, it's a touchdown. With him, with Randall and all these other guys, I'm really excited. Running backs out of the backfield, getting the balls in their hands, letting them, make things happen. All exciting stuff. Defense, I agree with them 100%. I definitely think that the strong secondary will help the pass rush. Give them that extra second, to get to the quarterback, I think it's big, big stuff for us. So just want to say thanks again, and I'll love to hear what you have to say.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Look, I think you make good points. I think all those are keys to the season. You got to figure out a way to get to the quarterback. You hope that DeMontre Moore can do that in year number two. JPP, you hope, can, be that dominant player on offense. You hope Eli has weapons, so you turn the ball over less. And I think it was Paul Schwartz that said it yesterday on Wednesday where, it's very, very simple, but the bottom line here is Eli going to have a good year? Is JPP going to have a good year? And if those two things work out, the Giants will be okay. If they don't, it could be a rough year. I know it's very simple and it's very reductionist, but I think that's not that far from the truth either, to be quite honest with you. All right, guys, I got to run. Something's come up here. I got to go and take care of something. I know it's a shorter show today. I apologize for that. Good job by Tom Rock. Good job by the callers we did have on. I'll be back with you on Monday morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Get ready for training camp. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.